You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Luke Elder, Sean Quinn and Ross Briley in the studio. It's Beverley, Sedgefield and Wincanton on Tuesday afternoon, Chepstow and Southwell in the evening on the domestic front, and we'll also have action over in Ireland from Tipperary in the evening as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I am pretty well, Mark. I seem to have lost my glasses in the hotel, so I'm wearing a reserve pair.
Oh, dear. Not a good start to the day, then, John?
No, it wasn't a good start. They must be there somewhere.
Are you going back there tonight?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay, hopefully we won't have lost them altogether, John. We're going to start with the Monday jury, as we usually do. We'll get stuck into Tuesday's action as well. John's got four races picked out for us. Good week to look forward to as well, John, before we get stuck into the Monday jury. We've got Dante Week coming up at York, possibly more classic clues along the way. It's the sun's shining, John. It's all good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all good, yes. I just hope they don't water too much at the Knave's Mire. But yeah, it's a lovely meeting. It's one of the highlights of the early part of the season.
Certainly is. First question of the Monday jury then, John. It concerns the action at York. Who do you like in the Dante? And will we see the Derby winner there, or has he already run a trial?
Well, right at the beginning of the spring, I said midterm was my selection for the Derby, and I see no reason, Mark, to change my mind. Hopefully, midterm is going to enhance his reputation by winning the Dante and do it so well that he'll go on to Epsom and perhaps win that in addition. But have we seen the Derby winner already? There is a possibility we have, Mark. Mm. It all depends on whether Coolmore send Minding for the Derby, I think. Absolutely outstanding winner of the 1,000 guineas. And the Aidan O'Brien sort of replacements or substitutes haven't really done that well. And as a result, they must be tempted to send Minding. If Minding does go for the Derby, which will be very interesting because, you know, fillies don't normally take part in that race, it is particularly exciting and will be a real talking point. But I'm hoping midterm will win the Dante and go on to do also well at the Derby.
My midterm is 11-10 favourite for the Dante at the moment. The betting is already on site. 11-10 midterm, Foundation 7-2, 5-1 for Deauville, Wings of Desire 9s, 10s for Black Sea, and 12s or bigger for the others.
I think we have to say that Foundation could come back to form, were Foundation to come back to form, and John Gosson got a good reputation in the Dante, then that would be very interesting indeed.
It will indeed. It'll change up the Derby market for certain. Minding with a run, by the way, 5-2 for the Derby. As John's just mentioned, the Aidan O'Brien team might end up putting her in the race. Midterm 3-1, 5-1 US Army Ranger. Cloth of Stars still needs to be supplemented, but it's 10-1. 12s for Moonlight Magic. Foundation 14s with Massart, and 16s are bigger for the others. That's the betting for the Derby at the moment. The next question continues with the Derby theme. What are your thoughts on US Army Rangers' Chester Vars win over Port Douglas?
Well, I thought it was very disappointing indeed. I mean, US Army Ranger had got every opportunity to win the race comfortably, to put it to sleep round about 2 furlongs side. Looked as though he was going to do so, but really produced disappointingly little, I thought, inside the final furlong. With hindsight, of course, his first win over in Ireland had also been quite hard to come by. So perhaps he has been overrated. As far as the race is concerned, well, I have to say that I thought Port Douglas basically ought to have won. I think Seamus Heffernan did have some arguments on his side in that he did actually touch Port Douglas with the whip. He didn't go hard at him, but each time he did, round about the furlong and a half mark, the horse did drift into US Army Ranger. And so he can't be blamed for not using the persuader more firmly. But on the other hand, if he had seemingly ridden the horse out really seriously with hands and heels, I think Port Douglas could easily have won.
That's the problem, isn't it? It just kind of leaves a little bit of a question mark over the performance.
Yes.
Whether he should have won or not.
Of course, it equally so, you could argue that if Port Douglas had really come for US Army Ranger a little bit earlier in the race, then perhaps US Army Ranger would have got back up on the inside, would have actually fought on because of the challenge given by the other horse.
Yeah. Either way, you'd imagine that both horses will have learned quite a lot at Chester, won't you?
You will. And, of course, it's a very good learning ground. It's different to Epsom, but it's the qualities of the bends and so on do teach horses a lot.
Mm. Let's move on to the Oaks then, John. Assuming Mining heads for the Oaks, I know you've mentioned that she may end up in the Derby yet. Is she a good thing, or has a rival taken your fancy?
Assuming she goes to the Oaks, I think she's nearly a shoo-in. I mean, that's a rather excessive thing to say, but so impressed was I with Minding's performance in the 1,000 guineas and the way she was staying on so strongly at the end that one does feel if she goes to her own sex race at Epsom, then she's got a really, really good chance. Difficult to see what's possibly going to try her to the utmost were she to go for the Oaks. The horse that springs immediately to mind is So Me Dar.
Yeah.
This has got course experience and her win was actually boosted at Lingfield. And beautifully bred, this horse, of course. I well remember Dar-Ray-Me, so unlucky to be disqualified from a really big race in France. I couldn't believe it at the time. I was in the studio here. Minding doesn't go, then I think I will be on So Me Dar.
Yeah, I think we'll learn a bit more about Somi Dar in the Musidora, won't we? I think she's going to run there next, which will be interesting. And you mentioned the form from that Epsom race as well, John, boosted by Humphrey Bogart at the weekend, and also Viren's Army, who was third, also won. So that form looks pretty good.
Yeah.
The market for the Oaks is headed by Minding still. Even money for Minding, 5-1 for Somi Dar. It's Ballydoyle next in at 6-1, 14's Architecture and Even Song, 7th Heaven also 14's and 16's or bigger for the rest. That's as it stands at the moment. Give us a winner for York this week then, John.
Well, you mentioned the Musidora, and it's quite possible that So Me Dar will actually win the Musidora. There are a couple of other races always interest me at the York May meeting. The Duke of York, for example, read a tremendous sprint. A lot of people think Magical Memories are definitely going to win this race. And clearly the horse is a serious danger to all. But I quite like the chances of Twilight Sun in this contest. I have a feeling Henry Candy's horses are coming absolutely to the boil at the right moment. This was a really gutsy performer last year. There's no suggestion that there's been any, drop off in the interval, and I think he's got a big chance. And so Twilight Sun would be one of my, not bankers, but hopeful selections for York. Were Peter Niven to send Clever Cookie, then I would have to have a few pennies on Clever Cookie, who I thought was a bit unlucky not to win the Segaro Stakes at Ascot, and looks to have recovered the form. Remember, he was not actually quite himself last season.
Hmm. Twilight Sun, by the way, 7-2, John, for the... Duke of York Stakes.
Yeah, well backed. I mean, to me, he's a very, very serious contender for all the top sprints this summer. And as I say, Dinkum Diamond, running really well at Ascot, demonstrated, I think, that Henry Candy is about to strike.
Mm. Who else has caught your eye over the past week, John? Nice open question for you.
Yes, well, I would have gone up to the top of the building and I think hurled myself off if Nakita had won the Chester Cup. Oh, dear, oh me. If there's ever a trainer to follow in my books, it's Ian Jardine. And when I saw he'd got Nakita in the Chester Cup earlier in the week, instead of running him in the Buttonhook and Stakes at Hamilton on the previous Sunday, I thought, well, you've got to support Nakita. And then I saw on the day he was drawn 15 of 16. I thought, well, he can't possibly win from that draw. My goodness, he nearly won. Just beaten a short head in a driving finish. And I think Nakita is very much a staying horse to follow wherever he runs. At this particular point, I would love to see him go for the Ebor. And he's a really good horse, Nakita. Won the old Newton Cup last year and only just beaten a whisker in the Chester Cup. So definitely Nakita.
Nakita then is the horse who caught John's eye over the past week. And final question, John, nominate a horse you think will prove profitable to follow this season.
Ah, well, now this is interesting. Some listeners may know that I'm a great supporter of Martin Mead. And Martin Mead has actually got, not a virus, but his horses are not running quite as well as they might be at the moment. They were very confident that Irish Rookie was going to win at Newmarket at the Guineas meeting. Didn't run at all badly, actually, out in the centre of the course, but broke a blood vessel in the closing stages. That was just a demonstration that things are not quite right. Now, Irish Rookie is thought to have developed really well. Second in the French Guineas last year, of course, a very decent horse indeed. And assuming that Martin Mead's team come back to form, Irish Rookie is definitely one to follow throughout the summer. And I said earlier about the stable, Blofeld is a two-year-old I know they think a lot of, has yet to run. Watch out for Blofeld.
Good stuff, John. That's the Monday jury then for another week. Let's move on to Tuesday's action. We'll get John's thoughts in four races on Tuesday on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start at Beverley in 3 o'clock. This one is a Class 5 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 15 here, John. Going to be quite an open sprint handicap, this one.
Yes, it is. And the draw, of course, always important to Beverley. And nowadays we have to look for low numbers on the inside. And strangely enough, many of the fancied runners in this contest have got double-figure numbers against their names. Just nipping down from nearly the top, I thought Penny Royale will improve on better ground for Tim Easterby at Beverley. Didn't run too badly in the heavy at Redcar last time out, but is drawn 11. Final Venture's also got winning form, but is drawn 15. And it has to be said that Alan Swinbank's horses could be going just that little bit better. Ruth Carr's team are in good form, but Oriental Splendor didn't impress really at Catterick last time out. So that brings us down to two. Taffeta is one of them, and Taffeta is drawn 12, double figure again, but has been most consistent throughout the season for Tony Coyle, and certainly it would be no surprise if Taffeta was to go pretty close to winning. But the selection will be Becky Basterman's horse here, C. Vermont. Now, C. Vermont is drawn 5. Good draw. And C. Vermont has been fancied to win this sort of contest at Beverley on a number of occasions. Did actually run quite well when last seen on the all-weather at Wolverhampton, not far behind Your Gifted, who's a very consistent performer at Wolverhampton. And C. Vermont has Beverley form and decently drawn will be the choice.
Yeah, he's got good Beverley form, hasn't he, Stephen? Just looking back through his previous runs there, he's been beating a short head and a head, and he's been bridesmaid on a number of occasions, hasn't he, maybe?
Yes.
Maybe Tuesday will be his day.
The two Bs, Beverley and Bath, are really the courses where C. Vermont has shown his best form. Mm.
C. Vermont then for John in the 3 o'clock at Beverley. To Sedgefield next for the 3:20. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We've got a field of 7 here. John Edmund and Master Regime both arrive here on the back of wins. Either of them on the shortlist for you?
But both of them are. It looks to me like a match between the two two of them, Mark. I think Edmund and Master Rajim. Taking Master Rajim first, trained by Neil King, who has his jumpers in pretty good shape at the moment. And Master Rajim, winner at Sedgefield last time, as you alluded to, beat a Sedgefield specialist, really, and my friend George from the Ken Slack Yard. So he's got to have a big chance coming up to Sedgefield again. There are a couple of other horses, beginning with C, who have a chance, I think. Carter's Rest, a fairly consistent old number, but could be outpaced on the faster ground. Cicerone as well. But we come back to Edmund as going to be the choice. Edmund represents Anne Hamilton, and her horse is going really well, and strangely enough, appears to have established an excellent rapport with Jamie Hamilton, no relation of the trainer. In fact, but Jamie Hamilton is one, to me, of the finds of the Northern Jumping Circuit at the moment. Was a really good amateur jockey and then turned conditional and appeared to lose his position. But he's come back strongly, Jamie Hamilton. Gave Edmund a great ride last time out, and I thought Edmund had shown such improved form that he could beat Master Rajim.
Edmund, the selection for Lord Budden there. Then on to the 3:30 at Beverley next. This one is a class 4 handicap. It's over a mile and 100 yards. And we've got 14 of them in the lineup here. John, it's wide open, competitive stuff, but Richard Farhey looks to have a pretty strong hand here.
Yes, he does. Very quickly through a sort of couple of the others. Marsh Pride is a horse I think who will come back to form for Ann Duffield. Won very well at Hamilton last season, but didn't show much at Ponte last time out. Count Monte Cristo is running for the first time too this season, so it really, to me, it could be a match between Richard Farhey's two horses. Chiswick Bay is the first of them, and probably in fact, the best of the two. The other one is Farum, but hasn't yet shown a great deal of form for a while. And Tony Hamilton rides. That's a bit of interest, actually, because Chiswick Bay last season was ridden by Sammy Joe Bell almost every time, and Sammy Joe Bell did very well on Chiswick Bay. But Tony Hamilton has the ride here. Did win at Lingfield last time out. I'm going to go for Farum, though, ironically ridden by Sammy Joe Bell. I thought Farum ran very well at Haydock last time out, won over a mile, and it still looks extremely well weighted ahead of the handicapper. So I'm going to go with Farum to just get the better of Chiswick Bay.
Farum to win at Beverley, then in the 3:30, and we finish off in the 7:25 at Chepstow. This is a class 5 handicap over a mile. It's for 4-year-olds and older. There's 12 of them in the lineup here. And interestingly, John, if you're correct in the 3:30 and Farum wins, then Zaria's form will have been boosted for this race.
Yes, it will, because Zaria has really quite a good chance of taking this particular contest. And obviously the form in the afternoon will give you a guide as to whether Zaria is going to win the 7:25 at Chepstow. To me, it looks as though the two major contenders in this race are Double Check for Pat Channings. I have a respect for Pat Channings. When his horses come to form, they very often put up a sequence of two or three wins in quick succession. Also, when they're ridden by David Probert, and I think Double Check is ridden by David Probert at Chepstow. It was a decent winner from Ravenous at Windsor last time out. Stormbound would be a serious danger, obviously. Paul Cole trains this one. A winner at Brighton last time out. It was only a small race, five runners, beat Black Caesar. Nicely weighted Stormbound could be a danger. And Zaria, as we mentioned, was second at Haydock last time out, could take a hand, but I'm going to go for Double Check.
Double Check for John there. Then won this race last year as well, John. Double Check off 69 runs off 71 here, so not much in it. Fair enough. Let's have a quick summary then, John, if you'll give us a quick spin through your selections then for Tuesday.
Well, we started with the 3 o'clock of Beverley, and I'm going for C. Vermont in the 3 o'clock of Beverley. The 3:20 at Sedgefield, Edmund is the choice. The 3:30 at Beverley, we're going for Richard Farhey's Farum. And in the 7:25 at Chepstow, the choice will be Double Check.
Superb. Good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Luke Elder, Sean Quinn and Ross Briley in the studio. It's Beverley, Sedgefield and Wincanton in the afternoon, Chepstow, Southwell and Tipperary in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.